Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Keith Dolo. He is the CEO of Sproutly Canada Inc. The stock symbol is SPR on the Canadian Exchange and SRUTF over the counter. Keith, welcome.
Good morning.
Yeah, Keith, can you start off by telling our audience what exactly Sproutly does?
Yeah, thanks so much. So we are a licensed producer here in Canada of cannabis. We have a facility located in the Greater Toronto area that is up in full production currently. But the uniqueness of where Sproutly is going and the direction the management team has taken it here is essentially a unique technology that we were able to acquire through an acquisition last summer of a company called Infusion Biosciences Canada, which allows Sproutly to position ourselves to lead both the beverages and the edible plays here in Canada and then beyond into other countries as we expand.
So, you know, I think this is the key area of interest for investors right now. The technology that you have, can you explain exactly, you know, how it works? And this is used, again, from what I understand, for cannabis beverages primarily. Is that right?
Correct. So, you know, initially here, the technology, which produces a unique product that we've labeled Infuse2O, allows us to essentially process and recover water-soluble cannabinoids from the plant. And it's a technology that had been worked on for, let's say, 13-plus years by our chief science officer and now director, Dr. Arup Sen. And essentially, through the acquisition of that technology, we are allowed or are able to convert the cannabis grown at our facility into this very unique water-soluble cannabis solution that can be instantly introduced to beverages and allows us to come to market with a product that is not a oil-based cannabis beverage with an emulsifier or a nano-encapsulation technology utilized within it. It is a completely natural solution that does not use chemical modifiers to essentially allow the cannabinoids to be introduced freely into the beverage solution. So initially, yes, it makes sense because of its water solubility to focus on the beverage community here. And I think as anybody has seen that's followed our story, last week we were able to announce our joint venture partner here for the Canadian cannabis market, which is actually Moosehead Breweries, which is the oldest and largest independent brewery here in Canada of over 152 years being a privately family-owned brewery. So very excited to bring that joint venture announcement as our partner that will launch beverages with us here in Canada kind of to the market. A lot of hard work went into it.
Okay, congratulations on that.
Thanks so much.
So what, you know, maybe if you could explain exactly how does, you know, your, I guess, is Infuse2O, is that the actual product or that's the name of the technology or both?
No, so that is the name of the ingredient essentially or the product that comes out of our technology. And so Infuse2O, because it is in a water-soluble solution and it's not an oil like a typical CO2 or butane machine would extract out of the cannabis plant, and then needed to be kind of added to a chemical to put back into the beverage. Because it is truly water soluble, the body is actually reacting very differently to it than what an oil product would actually entail. So we are able to deliver that experience that's very similar to smoking cannabis with a very fast onset of around 5 minutes where your body starts to feel the effects of it, and a very quick offset where your body stops feeling the effect in about 90 minutes. So the onset-offset profile of something because it is water-soluble actually is completely different than the existing products that are out of the market that take, you know, north of 40, 45 minutes for the body to feel the effect, some as long as 90 minutes to even start feeling the effect, and stay within your system for somewhere between 4 and 6 hours. So a lot of the beverages that are out there, some of the edible products that are on the market currently have these very long onset offset profiles, whereas ours is delivering to the consumer something that not only is natural and strain specific because of the technology, but also has a very rapid onset and offset, which is somewhat, I would say, missing in our opinion from the cannabis beverage market currently, because it doesn't provide the consumer to be able to have something that we call or people call sessionable. You know, you're not going to sit down and drink 3 to 4 beverages if each of them stays in your system for 4 to 6 hours, whereas ours provides a profile where somebody might want to drink one beverage for, you know, the hour and a half and decide at that time if they want to choose to have another one or if they want to stop their experience at that point. So essentially, the
existing, you know, just speaking about the beverage space, but so the existing cannabis beverages, you're saying it takes 45 minutes to get the effect, to get that buzz?
Yeah, so many of them, you know, if you look on the actual website or you look on the back of the canister, the bottle that you buy, you know,
what's the point?
Well, that's the problem. And the quotes say anywhere, some of them say indicate 20, some of them indicate 30, but going through all of our due diligence over the past couple of years of some of the competitive products that are out there and just hearing stories from consumers that are experienced within the cannabis beverage space in legal U.S. states currently, some of them take as long as 60 minutes or 75 or 90 minutes to feel the effects. And it almost doesn't provide a beverage that is going to cater to the mainstream consumer. It's a beverage that caters to the very experienced cannabis user that understands how cannabis will affect their body, understands what feeling the effects of cannabis for 4 to 6 hours will do to their own personal well-being and mental state as well as their health. And it doesn't really provide a product, in our opinion, that will be the attractor for people to get into the industry. You know, the people that are waiting on the sidelines that say, you know, we'll never smoke, we'll probably never vape. We certainly don't want that edibles experience of the horror stories where it stays in your system for 8 hours and you're kind of on the couch locked in. There's not really an applicable method for consuming cannabis to bring these people into the industry. And I think that's where we've really been focused the last couple of years, is not only looking at technologies and eventually the acquisition of Infusion Biosciences Canada, but creating products that are going to provide a different type of effect than anybody that has currently seen on the market, which hopefully will allow individuals that want to either get into the cannabis space or maybe even potentially experience the cannabis space an avenue and an application to get in here.
Okay, so this is basically, it's geared towards sort of a mainstream consumer that is, they want something which is, you know, very similar to, you know, having a, you know, an alcoholic beverage like a, you know, beer or whatever.
For sure. Yeah, something that's sessionable that you can enjoy in a social environment and something that isn't a truly water-soluble solution without the needs for additional chemical modifiers. And albeit that there are some very good-tasting or well-tasting beverages on the market currently right now in the cannabis space south of the border in the U.S., there's a profile of taste that seems to occur or a difficulty of kind of nailing down because of the chemicals used to get the oil into the beverage. And so there's a lot of work yet to be done in the cannabis space to make good tasting, you know, sessionable drinks. And we wholeheartedly here at Sproutly feel, and so does our new partner Moosehead, that we have the best technology to accomplish this and break these hurdles down as we kind of launch cannabis beverages here in Canada.
So now with your technology, with this Infuse 2.0, does it have a I wasn't clear. Does it have a taste profile or no?
Yes. So because our process is very natural, and it's almost what we classify as kind of a silken strain process, it's not one that uses kind of corrosive heat or solvents or different temperatures to essentially extract the oil out of the plant. What we are able to recover from the plant is kind of a whole plant profile. So the cannabinoids that exist within the plant, whether they be versions of THC or CBD, as well as the terpene profiles and all the other goodness that exists in the plant, as people refer to them as kind of full strain profiles, we get out of the cannabis plant a very similar Infuse 2.0 that smells, feels, and tastes very similar to that of the strain that we use within the technology. So think about it as, you know, if you use a strain such as, you know, MK Ultra or Blueberry Kush, kind of two very popular strains out there, and we use that as the strain that goes into the technology, into the machine, we essentially get out of it an Infuse 2.0 that tastes like an MK Ultra and smells and feels and gives the effects of those that would know what MK Ultra does to their body. And or if we use a Blueberry Kush, we'd get a Blueberry Kush Infuse 2.0 that smells, tastes, and feels very similar to that of those who would understand what a Blueberry Kush would how it would affect their body. So, you know, there's obviously methods to fractionate out terpenes to make them less flavorful or zero flavor profile. But I think that the whole plant specific experience is really what we want to bring to market here, not only for our Infuse 2.0 having the fast onset offset, but being able to kind of bring to market and to the consumers something that is an entire plant profile that will have some of the smells and some of the terpene profile flavors of that cannabis plant.
What is the taste going to be like? Does it taste like, you know, you're drinking liquid cannabis?
Yeah. You know, those are things that we're going to have to work out with our joint venture partner in terms of what flavor profiles and what types of beverages essentially we want to bring to market here upon legalization next year. So I don't want to kind of open the door too much on those, but there are certain products that cannabis beverages cannabis tastes very good with, and there are certain products that you're just unable to mask the flavor profiles of.
So,
take for instance a hop cider, like a cider. There's a number of ciders out in the U.S. and cider seems to mask the taste of not only the emulsifiers but as well as a lot of the cannabis plant itself. So there are different products that we'll look to bring to market next year with different flavor profiles. Some may require masking agents, and some may just have a more natural cannabis flavor to them.
Okay, so you know, in the deal with Moosehead, I mean, this is obvious as people who know the company, or as you stated, you know, this is a very experienced company in the beverage space. So they have an idea of what the flavor profile should be, I'm assuming, for optimal sales.
Not to speak on behalf of kind of Moosehead's work, but Moosehead has been looking at this space for quite some time, as so have the management and the executives of Sproutly as well. So now that the deal has been officially announced to the public, we can get back and continue to work on not only the formulation work between our R&D team and Moosehead's formulation group, but also understanding kind of the consumer needs and what consumers and what products are going to kind of really hit home with, the different need states. And I know need states is kind of an overused word these days, it seems like, but really understanding. And I think that's the benefit of an organization like Moosehead that has survived for 152 plus years within the brewing community and has needed to kind of alter not only its catalog of beverages, but also its focus on different consumers over that 152 years to ensure that it kind of moved forward with the industry. And so they have a deep, deep understanding of providing beverages that really cater to their consumers' needs. So there's work left to be done, obviously, between the two groups, but we hope to and be excited to announce in the kind of the coming months as it gets closer to legalization what potentially the different beverages and platforms that we're hoping to create are, and bring those out at the appropriate time to the consumers out there in the market that's out there.
Okay. Now, can you talk about the Moosehead deal in specifics in terms of the economics of the deal, how much revenue it would generate? Let's say, I don't know, if somebody wants to kind of model this on a, per serving, or what, maybe can you get into some details of that?
So I can't get into details of all the forecasting we've done from a revenue standpoint yet. I think us, like most beverage companies in Canada, are just currently waiting for Health Canada to finalize the rules and regulations. And until those really get finalized and promoted and we're able to kind of go through them with a fine-tooth comb, we won't necessarily understand the complete market size as well as the products that we are able to bring to market. So there's a little bit of kind of cautiousness there on getting too deep into our revenue forecast. But we have done a considerable amount of work with Moosehead in the formation of this joint venture. And what I like about this joint venture is it's an equal equity ownership share. So it's a 50-50 joint venture. We essentially are bringing an equal amount of board members to the joint venture, 3 and 3. For us, one of the major factors on wanting to get into this arrangement with Moosehead over other organizations we spoke to was the fact that Matthew Oland, who is one of the Moosehead senior executives, one of the kind of the family members that is in charge of Moosehead, the one of the four brothers, was willing to kind of resign his position at Moosehead after quite a number of years of successful career to essentially become the incoming CEO to lead this joint venture. So that just really shows on our part the intent and the focus that Moosehead will have on this joint venture versus just being another kind of satellite division that they're running on the side. And from our point, we're providing to this agreement of this joint venture, a perpetual supply agreement of our extremely unique product, which we call Infused 2.0. And to show our kind of focus on it, there is a 5-year exclusive agreement here in Canada for any cannabis-derived Infused 2.0 into this joint venture. So we are putting in our wholehearted effort as well into this joint venture over the coming years. So we will obviously share costs and resource contributions on each side until they're, you know, until we determine what the market share and how big the industry is going to be here in Canada. But we are wholeheartedly focused on this joint venture moving forward for Canada.
So it's a 50-50 joint venture deal?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and they're going to handle, you know, the distribution and all those aspects?
So that's the nice thing about partnering. So Sproutly is exceptionally good at understanding the cannabis space. We have a facility. We've been playing in this space for a while. Through our acquisition and the work that Dr. Senna has done over the last 13 years, we provide one of the best technologies, or the best technology in the industry, we feel, to convert the cannabis that's grown in our facility or other facilities into our water-soluble solution. But in terms of trying to bring products to market, and this is why Sproutly decided not to go at it itself and to partner with a larger organization, the marketing, the branding, the distribution that Sproutly or Moosehead currently has across all the Canadian provinces, you know, they distribute in Canada, they operate and sell into 15 different countries globally. Their skills and expertise on bringing beverages to market just is far superior than we ever could hope to amass with, you know, even multiple years of experience that we have on our team. So they will be bringing marketing experience, product planning, distribution, logistics, and everything to the equation in order for us to basically provide to them our unique infused to a water solution and create kind of the best in class beverages through the joint venture. So it's a marriage of two companies, both bringing equal assets from each side to make it work.
And when is the anticipated launch date of this of the product?
So again, we're just waiting cautiously right now to see what Health Canada releases. You know, preliminary announcement came out last year that beverages and edibles here in Canada would be legalized kind of mid-October of 2019, but we've yet to see what the final regulations look like and if that is still the date that the federal government plans to move forward with. The difference I would say between this joint venture and some of the other ones that are out there or beverage companies looking to get into it is that we are bringing over a decade of experience working on creating cannabis or a cannabis solution that can be easily introduced to a multiple different platforms within the beverage industry here. So, or different formulations. So unlike other organizations that are still trying to figure out, you know, what technology we're going to use and what's the beverage going to face, taste and flavor like, we were essentially able to bring to this joint venture a product catalog that, you know, has 50 to 60 different products already formulated and completed within it that we're already currently doing shelf stability testing on. So this one has the flavor profiles that are created. We've done multiple different categories from hop ciders to sangrias to sparkling waters to non-alcoholic beverages. And now we're just at a point of determining which ones we want to be launching first through this joint venture partnership. So we're bringing a lot of know-how and a decade plus of experience to this joint venture versus having to figure it out from square one going forward. So our expectation is that, you know, if October is the launch date, that we are pushing to be ready for whatever launch date here in Canada gets announced, just depending upon the regulations when they come back to us here from Health Canada.
Okay. So the regulations, that could be, you know, announced, I guess, what, any time, but you can actually start selling in mid-October. Is that the idea?
Well, if the regulations come back, they will tell us what products, how they're going to be branded, what products we can make, what's illegal and what's not legal, as well as the date that potentially the federal government says is the legalization of edibles. It'll still be, once the federal regulations get announced, it'll be up to the provinces to determine how those regulations are interpreted. So there's a little bit more in terms of understanding what the federal government would want. They provided us a draft of the regulations, let's say, just after Christmas this year, and all the organizations, including ours, were able to respond back by kind of the end of February as to what our interpretation of them and adjustments that we feel need to be made. But the final draft has not yet come out, actually.
Okay. You know, assuming that, you know, mid-October is the date, how soon will your product be on the shelves?
Well, we're expecting that if we're all targeting a run rate right now internally to be ready for legalization. So if it ends up being mid-October, I would say at or just shortly afterwards, we expect to have products ready to go to the stores.
Okay. And do you have the details on the product line? Is it going to be like one beverage? Or like what can you Tell us about that.
I can't tell you much right now. I'd love to, but I say just in the era of caution, as we're kind of trying to keep some of our work that we're working on the back end proprietary, will be coming out in a few press releases and some other news events via the joint venture as it gets structured and completed here with what products they actually will be. So all we can tell people for right now is that we've done an immense amount of work over the past decade into different flavor profiles and platforms, and the joint venture will have the decision upon what products make most sense for consumers here in Canada and in what geographies. And that's why we're entrusting that side of the joint venture to the Moosehead folks, who have spent, like I said, 152 years in this category. So their experiences should far outweigh the majority of the other people on my team here, and in terms of launching the best available products.
Okay. And excuse me, Wally, this passes here. It's New York City noise for you here. So in terms of branding, what it's gonna be branded with Moosehead?
So that's what we're, again, that's another regulation. There's just a lot of unknowns around this category right now. So the current regulations don't allow a liquor company to brand their name next to a cannabis product. So part of the agreement is that Moosehead to license all of its kind of brands and intellectual property into the joint venture, but that's obviously upon acceptance by Health Canada that that can be allowed. So the way it looks right now for not only us, but other organizations that are liquor companies that have got into the space, is that a new brand, a new joint venture name, and a new product name needs to be derived so that it doesn't associate itself with an alcohol company.
Okay. Well, Canada has a lot of regulations in this area.
Yeah, a lot of regulations, but we're very fortunate enough to be one of the, a country that has legalized it on a federal level. And as you can imagine, Health Canada and the federal government are taking a cautious approach in their sponsorship of this legalization of cannabis, both flower and vapes, as all the way up through the edibles and beverages. So, we're very supportive of all the regulations and all the work that Health Canada has done up until this point. And but I would just say most of your questions that you're answering me are things that we will have the answer for, but until we actually see the final draft of those regulations and are able to kind of comb through it with our regulatory department and understand where we can participate and what products we can't participate in, it's too soon to actually identify that.
Okay. What about what about markets outside of Canada? What's your international strategy?
For sure. So the joint venture, there is an option within the joint venture that allows it and gives it the ability to enter the European market for once recreational cannabis becomes legal. But Sproutly is already looking and has been looking for quite some time at the other geographies that we want to focus on, which are more of the regulated geographies. We've decided for the time being to kind of stay away from the United States until the U.S. determines what its kind of federal rollout is going to be. But, other countries that we have been focusing on, and it kind of aligns with the acquisition of our technology, that we were able to license it exclusively for and proprietarily for a certain amount of geographies. So the legal jurisdictions of Canada, Israel, Jamaica, Australia, and the entire European Union. So with those populations of north of, 800 million people, I think the European Union would be our next focus for the time being, but we're having discussions with all of those different geographies right now.
Okay. And what kind of, I don't know if you want to talk about some projections, but what do you anticipate the market for the cannabis beverages to be in terms of sales volume?
So from like a market share set, how big is it going to be? So, you have some CEOs of some of the new joint ventures and beverage companies coming out. I think it was Molson that said it. They figured it was going to be somewhere between kind of 1.4 and 3 billion kind of at market maturity.
In Canada. Right.
Yeah, just for the beverage community. So we've done a bunch of different models and come up with some kind of different estimates out there. I think conservatively it's, somewhere between that kind of 1 to 1.5 billion, I would say, within that category. And the difference I find is when people say, well, beverages in the U.S. only make up this amount of the market share. The difference in Canada is that it is a federally legal jurisdiction. So it allows organizations like Moosehead to enter the cannabis space here under a federal regulation and guidance, different than the U.S., whereas in the U.S. you have a lot state by state. You have a lot of what I would say is kind of non-household brands participating in the beverage category. And I think the fact that that combined with the fact that the onset offset of a lot of the beverages in the U.S. are kind of like that that hour to 4 or 5 hours, just hasn't allowed the beverages to really capture a large market share. So I think not only in Canada are we going to have big brands, you know, the announcement of Constellation getting into the space, the announcement of AB InBev putting an investment in with Tilray, the announcement of Molson putting an investment in with Hexo to create beverages. Now Moosehead throwing its hat in the ring as well. You're going to have a lot of organizations and a lot of brand power behind these and marketing dollars behind these. So I think that'll generate additional kind of consumer knowledge about cannabis beverages. And then on top of that, you have the technologies. And we feel that our technology is a massive competitive advantage, not only for us, but as well as Moosehead, to really clamor for market share space here in Canada with the quick onset offset and a truly water-soluble cannabis solution, a differentiated product from all the other oil products that are out there. So we're excited to kind of be able to launch products next year and put our products on the shelf and let our consumers essentially decide for themselves what they would rather appeal, what appeals to them, a shorter onset offset profile of a natural product or something that lasts within the system for, you know, 4, 6, 8 hours after just even one beverage. So, but in terms of the entire market share, I think, you know, that's at maturity. You know, I think we're a few years away yet from getting to be a mature market. There's going to be a lot of kind of companies finding their way, the provincial governments finding their way as legalization happens here. You know, how are beverages and edibles going to be distributed? Is it going to be through the existing retailers and the dispensaries out there? Or is the, you know, the capacity of these dispensaries, not really, are they not equipped to essentially distribute the volumes of the beverages and the edibles that essentially are going to come legal here? So there's a lot of kind of feeling and finding everyone's way over the next year. But I say, you know, at a full maturity, you know, 3, 4, 5 years out, you know, somewhere kind of between that billion to a billion and a half for the Canadian beverage market share, I think it would be a good number that we'd like to put out there.
Okay. And, you know, so it seems like this, quick onset, this 5-minute onset and in this, I guess, what do you call the sessionable type of profile. I mean, I think that's a key differentiator here from, you know, everything else out there on the market. Have you considered licensing, you know, the technology in, you know, markets like California or other U.S. markets?
No, so the technology that we were able to license, we only did for the legal jurisdictions. So Sproutly made the decision back just after I started with the organization a couple of years ago that we were going to focus on the legal global jurisdictions out there so as not to run any kind of federal interference with not only our stock and our shareholders, but just in our ability to kind of operate fairly in regulated jurisdictions. So we've not looked at the U.S. in terms of a licensing agreement, and those licensing agreements are not actually held with Sproutly, so we don't even have the option to do that. And so there's other countries, and there's more than enough focus for the next few years just focusing on the countries that we did acquire. So that'll be our bread and butter moving forward and staying away from the U.S. for the time being.
Okay. That's sounds like there's enough opportunity, you know, where you're at right now. Can you, know, maybe if you can just, you know, in summary, explain how the Infuse 2.0 technology works?
Well, without giving away too many kind of proprietary trade secrets, because it is so, the process is a patent pending application currently right now. So I don't want to get too much into it, but I will say it is a very differentiated technology than many people believe. So it is a very show constrained methodology. We're able to capture from the cannabis plant the naturally water soluble cannabis molecules that exist within the plant. And we call those, you know, our Infuse 2.0 solution. And Dr. Sen is a PhD in chemistry from Princeton, and he spent his entire life working for both Big Pharma as well as academia, as well as the Scripps Institute on cancer research. So it has quite a history of research put behind it. And we're very fortunate enough to be able to partner with Infusion Biosciences on this kind of endeavor to bring this to market.
Okay. And, you know, what can you expand the technology to, you know, just beyond the beverage space? What other expansion opportunities are you looking at down the road?
For sure. So I would say the next evolution after kind of the beverage joint venture has been solidified and gets up and running is our ability to bring infused 2.0 into different edibles as well. And so we also have an oil product that is created from the technology as the second step of the two-step process. But bringing the fast onset action of our infused 2.0 solution into the edibles category as well, that'll kind of be the next evolution of Sproutly, both in Canada as well as overseas. So as much as we've announced the joint venture for the beverage play here in Canada, look forward to Sproutly kind of unveiling its edible strategy here over the next kind of 4 to 5 months as we understand what edibles are going to be legal here in Canada as well. And the technology and the ingredients and the products created by the technology will be able to be utilized within the beverage or in the edibles category too.
So in terms of edibles, they're also going to have this fast onset and what, 45-minute or 90-minute cycle?
Offset. Yeah.
Offset, yeah.
Or think about it as, you know, a traditional, you know, oil, like even in a capsule, let's say, still has a time duration to offset and a long lasting, you know, or onset and a long lasting offset. Think of us mixing both an oil as well as our infused 2.0 in a capsule. So now you get the benefits of both, where you're getting a fast onset of that cannabis molecule, but you're getting the slow, long lasting effect of the oil that's included within the capsule. So there's ways in the formulations of us kind of mixing and playing around with both infused 2.0 in edibles as just an ingredient, or infused 2.0 with an oil in different edibles and capsules and tinctures and so on. So we look to bring it out to the market in more than just beverages is what I'm saying.
Okay. Keith, can you tell us about, you know, your background and also some of the other key members of the team?
Yeah, so, you know, we are very fortunate to be able to, you know, bring to our organization over the last, I would say, you know, 6 to 7 months, some very senior individuals that come from the CPG space. So Brian Ciampulli stepped on as our president in December, and Brian has a, you know, a very, very deep background working for Fortune 200s. He spent, what was it, about 25 years working for AB InBev, and then probably the last 7 years working for Kimberly-Clark as kind of leading global innovation and marketing teams for these Fortune 200s. So very fortunate enough to bring him on. We have Melise Panetta, who is our VP of Sales and Marketing, and she came as the Director of Sales from SC Johnson, and before that, PepsiCo, and a number of other kind of large CPG organizations. You know, the brains behind the technology and our science department, as I mentioned, is Dr. Sen, who held a number of research and executive management positions at biotech companies and pharmaceutical companies. And as I mentioned, he has a PhD in biochemistry from Princeton University and is kind of a formal faculty member at the National Cancer Institute and Scripps Research Institute. So very fortunate enough to have him on the team. From our board, we are very fortunate enough to attract a couple very large names from the beverage space to kind of help us understand and master what we didn't have, which was the beverage knowledge that was out there. So Michael Bayless, who is the founder and chairman and CEO of Bev Marketing Corp, which is kind of a leading consulting research advisory firm located in New York. He has, you know, over 45 years of industry experience specific to working with large Fortune 500 beverage companies. So he was able to step onto our board of directors to show some faith in not only our management team and what we were working on, but just guidance in terms of how to approach the industry. And very fortunate enough to bring on Constantine Constandis. So Constantine was a kind of C-level executive, 30-plus years of experience working kind of the wine and the spirits industry all around the world, including Canada, Europe, USA and Asia. And so he used to be the former senior executive with Pernod Ricard. And then previous to that, he was the CEO of Corby Spirits and Wine. So albeit that we started out as a cannabis company, we have gravitated the staff and the board and some of our senior management positions to look like that more of not only a CPG company, but also a beverage company and have that experience to run the organization like a true consumer packaged goods company. I came from working for the last 14 years with an organization called Robert Half International, and I was able to join Sproutly, taking over as President, CEO, and now CEO about just over 2 years ago. So I've been with the organization since then.
Okay, so it sounds like you have a, you know, pretty substantial team in place.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as I see most cannabis companies kind of evolve, you're going to have to evolve with the size that you are and the avenues that you hope to play within. And I think the great thing about Sproutly is we have a very defined business model with a very clear direction. And our management team now, as well as our board, really kind of supports that. You can see the evolution of us becoming a cannabis company getting licensed and understanding how to grow cannabis in Canada to a company that is going to compete with the likes of the large major brands that are out there, both within the beverage community and then eventually within the edibles community.
Okay. Keith, what's your vision for Sproutly, you know, over the next 2-3 years? You know, what is this company going to look like, assuming everything, you know, works out in terms of regulations?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, our joint venture with Moosehead really defines and carves out the technology and the business model we've been working on. It really validates everything on our end. So an organization of 152 years of experience that is still private, willing to kind of there hitch their wagon to us in launch of beverages in the cannabis space here, really just shows that through the due diligence we are able to do with them, that they define our technology to be the best that's out there and willing to participate in a 50-50 equity joint venture in this sort. So in the next couple of years, you know, as we grow this category here within Canada and look to take, you know, market share and become a leader within this space, I think that's the Canadian focus we'll have, you know, albeit we obviously do create and grow flower at our facility in Toronto that we will be selling under a brand called Calibre. That's kind of a small batch grow facility located in Toronto. We'll also then, on top of that, look to bring some of the best-in-class edibles to market. So really that kind of end derivative type company that is kind of gearing itself to get away from just being a flower cannabis grower to be looking at kind of some of the high margin, high value products that I think will end up winning out consumers both in the beverage and the edible space. And then that's Canada. And I think then beyond that, you'll start to look to see us more in the international space, partnering with companies in the Caribbean, partnering with companies or launching our own brands over in Europe or through the joint venture and eventually over into kind of Australia and Israel and other countries. So really just hoping to kind of take the technology that we acquired it from Infusion Biosciences and really grow that technology in the geographies that we're focused on here.
Okay. And more short term, like what is some of the news flow that investors can expect, you know, over the next, 6-9 months? What kind of milestones do you have coming up?
For sure. So I think in terms of the joint venture, just a continued discussion and more news coming out about not only the joint venture's name, but as well as the products and the branding associated with and what types of products in what markets that joint venture will participate in to start and then kind of grow up. So getting more information out to the shareholders about the joint venture. And then from a Sproutly perspective, getting more information out to the shareholders regarding kind of the evolution of our licensing, you know, when we're able to sell oils into the market, when we're able to sell our flowers, and in what market we're selling our bud prepackaged to the different regulatory bodies across Canada, provincial government regulatory bodies. And then from an international standpoint, either what companies we may be looking to partner with overseas or what countries Sproutly will be getting into as an ownership of properties over there to be able to launch products accordingly in different countries on a global scale. So I think our Canada focus, our joint venture focus, and our international focus will all hold shareholder updates that I think everybody can kind of stay tuned about over the next 6 to 9 months here.
Okay. And, you know, my last question, Keith, is, you know, in your opinion, you know, what are the, you know, top three reasons why investors, you know, should consider Sproutly's stock today?
For sure. First and foremost, the technology. It is by far a groundbreaking research discovery in terms of creating the water-soluble cannabis solution we call Infuse 2.0. And that solution is, from everything we've seen, as well as our joint venture partner and feedback we get, is a far superior solution to anything that other beverage companies have seen within the space. So that, by far, at the current time, is the number one differentiator of who Sproutly is in comparison to other companies wanting to play in this beverage category. I would say, secondly, you know, it's our management team, not only of Sproutly, but as well as Moosehead and the experience that they're bringing to that joint venture. The amount of years associated with growing Canada's oldest and independent brewery combined with the CPG and the beverage experience that I have brought over to Sproutly here just shows that we are investing in this company for the long haul, and this is something that we're all focused on for the next kind of 5 to 10 years. And then I think, you know, the last thing that we've been able to deliver back to shareholders, a very defined business model with an exceptionally clear direction and where we want to go. We said we were going to lock up a player within the beverage space that really allowed us to bring our technology to market, which we were able to deliver within the Moosehead agreement. And everything else that we've kind of put on the plate in terms of letting investors know the focus that we've had and the defined focus that we have. And I think a lot of cannabis companies and the industry as a whole are just trying to do too many things all at once. And people are trying to be either vertically integrated or they're trying to launch 50 different products out there, or they're trying to grow on mass scale. And I think it's stretching too many companies too thin. And I think the companies that have just a very clear, defined pathway, in which we do, will be the ones that are able to narrow down and focus and grab market share within their categories and expand once they've got a foothold within their category or a category within the cannabis space to start. So I think our technology, our management team, and just our clear direction on our business model, where we're heading, and our ability to deliver back to shareholders on the promises that we say has been kind of the, I would say, are the three best differentiators of Sproutly out there right now.
Keith, on that note, I want to thank you, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the coming months.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for your time today. Appreciate you having me on the show.